Lord, may your word be a lamp and a light, Lord, that always points us and directs us to you. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Find the scripture real quick. That's in the Gospels. Again, been kind of keeping on this theme a little. Just to read you the scripture about Mary and Martha. Talked a little bit about that, about a picture here of Jesus. He visited Martha and Mary and Lazarus, his friends, when he would be in Bethany. And this is Mary of Bethany that we talk about a lot. And Mary Magdalene and Mary Bethany pretty much are the same person. And in this scripture, Jesus is there. Came to visit them, and we know the story. Martha's just, you know, fixing everything, making sure that her house is perfect, you know, like a lot of people do when they have people coming over, right? Everything's got to look perfect. Like we live like that all the time, you know, that our house has got to be just perfectly set in order and clean, and that's okay, right? Except when you make everybody else in your house miserable, because anyway, that's for another day. And then as he comes in, they greet him. Mary just sits down at his feet, and not that he was like in a chair sitting down. He was probably sitting on the floor as well, but she's sitting there listening to his words. Martha's mad because she's not helping her, and she's having to do all the work herself and frustrated. And then, of course, familiar verses, the Lord answered and said, Martha, you're worried and you're bothered by so many things. Right, not just keeping the house clean, but only one thing is necessary for you. And Mary has chosen the good part, and it won't be taken away from her. Right, I never say anything that oh she's my favorite or anything like that. Right, it's just a great picture to us about distractions. You know, distracting us away from the one thing, and the one thing that will never be taken away, and the one thing that brings life to us, because it's the one thing that makes us human, right? We hear that a lot, and Bishop was speaking last Wednesday night about that, about we hear that a lot if you're around here, about Jesus coming to restore man back to his original image, right? Jesus didn't come just to have to prove that he was God by doing all these miracles. He came to restore what man lost in the garden, and that is the presence and the fellowship of God. He came to restore that. So Mary here is just giving us a picture of what a restored human being is like, what's supposed to be happening, right? And he's saying this will never be taken away from her. But what it doesn't say, but you can see this in here, is that Mary was not bothered and distracted by all these things, because in comparison to his presence, that was not important, right? So that is the battle. That is our fight of faith and our battle. I'm going to step over here and get this Passion Translation. Our battle, when we're talking about fighting the fight of faith, is about that. It's about battling distractions and battling, fighting to live in that place. So in Psalm 16, I was rereading, you know, just reading some Psalms today. Lord kind of led me to it. Love Psalm 16. We hear that a lot. This is David. And he says this about the Lord, that the Lord is a portion of my inheritance, and he's my cup. And you support my lot, or which is my allotted portion. When they went in to the land of Canaan, remember we talk about that a lot, when they, you know, crossed the Jordan and Israel entered into this land of Canaan. It's a picture of the Christian life, the abundant Christian life. We talk about that, where you had to possess what was yours by dispossessing. And they were each, all the 12 tribes, were the land was kind of divvied out to them. It was kind of carved out, you know, the tribe of Judah would get this, and the tribe of Asher would get this, and the tribe of Dan would get this, right? But the tribe of Levi really didn't get a slice of the pie, right? They got something better. They got the whole pie. The inheritance of the tribe of Levi was God's presence, right? Because within the tribe of Levi were the priest and the Levitical priesthood, right? The guys who took care of the tabernacle, the table. So in the New Testament, that just gives a good picture and kind of points toward that we're all priests. We're all Levites, right? We're a kingdom of priesthood. That's what Scripture says. And so our inheritance is the presence of God, right? That's what we get. And so when David's saying this, you know, the Lord is my portion, he's my inheritance, you support my lot, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me, okay? I will bless the Lord who counsels me, my mind instructs me in the night. Because I have set the Lord continually before me, he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken, right? And so setting the Lord continually before me, again, is another way or another, to me, is pictures of what it means to be a one thing person. That the presence, I set the Lord continually before me. He is continually set before me. In other words, that he has my total attention, right? Because he has set the Lord continually before him, he said, I'm not shaken. And when we become one thing people and the presence of God is our priority, because it actually is your inheritance. Because it's my inheritance, it doesn't always mean it's my priority. But when my inheritance becomes my priority, then not only will I not be shaken, right? But it becomes beautiful to me. And then he says, I've set him continually before me. He's at my right hand. I won't be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. And my flesh will dwell securely. You will not abandon me to death, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. We know that's like a prophetic thing that is used with Jesus. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then in 27, I think that's 27, yeah. And I believe this is the last, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, David is like 60 years old when he writes this one. And this is what he says. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he conceals me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent or his presence, he'll hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Now my head will be lifted above my enemies, and I'll offer in his tent or in his presence sacrifices with shouts of joy. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And he goes on, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. I'm trying to read this, if I can see it, this so tiny here in our little Bible here that we have of the Passion Translation. But I like reading the Passion Translation because when you go, it's just so full of passion, right? Because the Hebrew language is a language of passion. Greek is very is detailed by word, chopping it up, you know, microscope, looking under all kind of things. But Hebrew is more passion of what people who like poems and poetic and all that stuff, you know, you can really see that here. And so I'm not going to read it because I can't see it in here. But go back and read, get a larger one than this, or you can go, there's little apps, Bible apps that you can get, download the Passion Translation for free. That's what I do on my phone. But it just puts it into more, you know. I was just thinking about that today because that's how when Jesus said, you know, when he says, when he's Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking to these people about seeking first the kingdom of God, and we read every day, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, right? And we're kind of getting this picture. Well, man, maybe that's what I've really been created for, right? And Colossians about that. You know, we talk about that all the time because it says, as we, since we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that we're continually seeking things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And it even tells us that in the seeking Him, that we, it says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then I will be revealed with Him in glory. Right. I was reading also in just how powerful in my prayers today, just thinking about the love of God. And you know, that's basically, if you want to kind of make it real simple, put it down into some more just simplistic things about seeking the Lord. And as Song of Solomon, we know that the conclusion this believer came to at the very end was just all this conversation with the Lord, is that that person or this Christian belongs to Him, and they come to find out that they are His desire, right? There's nothing more, even in relationship, friends, but especially in a marriage relationship to your spouse, there's no greater thing within a marriage to know that your spouse loves you beyond all others, right? Especially women seem like they need to hear that a little more, right? Than guys. We say that, but that's really not true. Guys need to hear that as much, because that's the way we're created too. But in that relationship, I'm just using that as an example, because in that relationship, that's why God created it, because it's a picture of Christ's relationship to the church. But when you read over in even the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, when it talks about, you know, put me like a seal over your heart for love, is all this, how strong it is. It's as strong as death. And jealousy is a severe shiloh. But this jealousy here is the jealousy of God's jealousy, or His desire for us. And His love is stronger than death. And it even says that waters, this is such a vehement fire and flames coming out of the throne room, that water can't quench it. That's how awesome and fierce the love of God is. And it's this flashes of the very flame of the Lord that it can't be quenched. And if you tried to give something for it, it would be utterly despised, because nothing could buy it. Or there's nothing that in this earth and that is equivalent to that. So it's like the Lord, one thing He's been speaking to me about this whole thing He's doing in this revival. And we have many, you know, this breakthrough and all that kind of stuff. But it's a breakthrough to an end. There's a goal, right? And the goal is His presence. That He is creating a one thing people, a one thing body, a one thing believer. Because really deep within you, you are created to be a one thing person, right? I don't know if you've ever discovered this. You probably have. But if you ever get in front of a roaring fire or whatever, and get in front of it, right, you feel the heat from it, right? And the closer you get to it, the hotter it becomes. And if you get really close to it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to catch on fire, right? That's what happens when we become and we set the Lord continually before us, like David did. What will happen is that you will you'll catch fire, right? Your heart, your life, you know, even Scripture uses it as like brushwood. It even uses the thing as a brushwood and stuff like that. How it just catches on fire and begins to consume us. Because being one thing person, you know, and He's our one thing, and He's my desire, and even if I'm new in my walk with the Lord, you know, what I'm saying here may just seem some kind of way out there, and that is His heart. I mean, if I just got to say, I'm trying to put words. It's hard to put words into what I'm trying to say anyway. But then it's hard to put words when you can't think and words aren't coming to you. But it's like because what I was seeing was just people catching on fire, right? And bursting in the flames, like the Fantastic Four. One of them's the Rock, and one of them says, as the flame or whatever. He says, "Flame on," and he lights up. I don't know if you've ever seen the Fantastic Four. There's a movie, and it was a cartoon when I was a kid. And I always think about that when I think about the love of God being like a fire. When that person says, "Flame on," and all of a sudden, he's on fire, right? That if we make the Lord, His presence, our priority, right, to get back there. And this is not out of guilt. The Lord does not, if you go to the Lord out of guilt, don't go. You know why I say that? Because that's what He said to me years ago. "Craig, if you have to seek me out of guilt, don't do it," right? Who wants to spend time with somebody only because they're guilty, right? You don't want your husband, wife, or best friend, or whatever it is, spending time with you because they feel guilty because they hadn't done that, right? Couldn't they tell you, "Look, the only reason I'm here is I feel guilty for not being here, so here we go," right? Well, you're probably not going to enjoy your time with them. It's probably hurt your feelings or get upset, right? Same with the Lord. He's just, I remember when He told me that, it really kind of, a light went on in me, because the Christian ministry I was a part of early on was really like that. They were big into scripture, scripture memory, scripture study, quiet times. But in the sense, if you didn't have your quiet time, you didn't get a gold star for that day. And the group of guys I lived with, we actually had our names on a list by the door when we left out. And we would have to put a little check by our name if we had our little quiet time that day, right? So you didn't want to see the other three guys that we were living with, four of us in there, but you didn't want to see checks by the other guys named if and yours not having one. So I remember one guy, I would, you know, get up and leave, and he'd just be sitting in his chair asleep. You know, I don't think he ever was awake in any of his little quiet times. And because it was so early, and he was a night owl, you know, stayed up late, but it was just, even though I know the Lord blessed, I mean, I know He blessed us, probably laughed at us, but we were just doing it for the wrong reasons. Because the reason should be because out of love, right? And one thing I've discovered, and one thing is really good to pray, because if I'm to love the Lord with all my heart and love my neighbors and myself, again, I can't love the neighbor as myself until I know how much I'm loved, right? And the only way to find that, the only place to find that is in His presence. And that's a great thing to pray. "Lord, reveal to me or show me how much You love me," right? Always answers that prayer. "Draw me after You, let us run together." He answers that prayer every time. And He starts opening this thing you heard me pray. He begins opening the eyes of my heart, right? So I can see Him and then respond to Him. And something is happening to me that I don't even realize is this fire of God. Jesus said, "I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire," right? So if you're a believer, you've got the fire of God in you. You've got the Holy Spirit within you. It's the fire of God. And it's the passion and the love of God will begin to ignite within you, right? Even though you may not even realize it. And you go back there and you're with Him and and I'm talking about just a time where I'm just kind of devoted to that, where I'm trying to hear and listen to Him. The more I'm there, then the more this fire will consume me, right? You've heard me continually say this, and the more you long to be back there, right? That's the reason all these Christian songs, and you hear all these songs, I'm going really late today, I'm sorry about that. They're always saying, you know, one of them I was listening to recently, I can't think of the name of it, but it's about take me back to the beginning, where I was young and where we running through the fields with You, right? Take me back to the beginning, which is, you know, the whole thing about returning to first love in Revelation, where it talks about that. You've lost, you know, the church in Ephesus had lost their first love, right? And He was saying, "This is what I have against you." And all He does is said, "Hey, get it, repent, okay? Return to your first love." You're in first love. I mean, you never leave. If you're in Christ, you're in His presence, you're seated with Him in the heavenly places, He lives in you, you never leave first love. First love is always there. It may not be your experience, right? But first love is in you. You have it. So making his presence and becoming a one thing people is when that one thing begins to come alive again, right? So I don't have to go back. I wouldn't want to go way back there. Oh my gosh, that was rough times too. I would not want to go back. I get the heart of what they're saying is first love. I want first love because that's not my experience right now. First love is not my experience. And Jesus said, here's real simple, repent. You know, and we hear that all the time. Doesn't mean, think of that means to change your mind. It means to think with me. Think with first love thinker, God, right? And then I'll learn how to, because scripture says God, you know, 1 John 4 talks about that. You abide in God, you're going to abide in his love because it's who he is. But I really think that he is really responding to our prayer, asking him to do that. Lord, I want to be a merry one thing person. I want to be like David at the end of his life. He was like, gosh, all of this, this is one thing. Lord, because I found more joy, I found life in your presence where I cannot find it anywhere else but in you. In you is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there's pleasures forevermore, right? Not anything difficult, not anything hard, but God is calling us to that place as a one thing person. This revival is about his presence. Don't ever forget that. It's about his presence, because in his presence, not only is fullness of joy, but in his presence is where I discover my identity. Everything is found in his presence, right? I cannot discover my identity apart from that. But everything becomes alive. Who I am, who he is, right? You have been created to respond to love. That's who you are. And I tell you what, if you make his presence, and I was reading in Proverbs 2, because you read it all in there, it's talking about seeking wisdom, you know? Go after it, my son. You know, it's more important than everything else. Well, that's the Lord, right? If I make that my one passion in life or my one desire, I'm going after that harder than I'm going after anything else. You will discover him. You will find him. He will let you find him because that is what he wants for you more than anything. And just to be absolutely consumed and flamed with God's love for you. I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? I can't get away from it. Because you know what? Even though I can maybe, you know, as they say, preach a sermon that could get a tear out of a glass eye, you know, I have a long way to go in that for me personally, right? I can much easier look at Laura and say, Laura, God's love, you know, than I do for my own self. You ever found that to be true, right? But anyway, let's stand. I've rambled all over the place with the same, but I kept on track with the same thing, right? And that's a great place to start. Leanne Payne, when I started reading her stuff, Healing the Christian Soul is probably the best book I ever read in my life. She talks about the things that three things that keep us from getting healed inwardly, right? And one of them, the main one is not knowing who you are, not being able to receive God's love for yourself, and getting over those barriers that hinder me being able to receive and having such a poor self-image and everything. It's all about God. So I would write out how I felt, you know, Lord, this is how I feel, you know, boom. And then I asked Lord for his word, his healing word, and then it would come, write it down, right? But I did that so much that those things were healed. And they begin to be healed, and to this day. So today was a horrible day yesterday. I had a terrible day yesterday. Didn't respond right in things. You probably never have those days, right? It was just, I just need to get off by myself, you know. And so coming to the Lord this morning, we were able to talk a lot about that. And you know what? All he did was, lack of better words, just loved on me. And again, spoke that. It's like the fire of God's love just totally consumed all that stuff, right?